So we've just finished celebrating Easter and all that goes with it, but I would like to go back and look at some things that happened that week before Easter. Talk about those just a few minutes. I'd like you to imagine that you're there. Maybe you're one of the disciples. And imagine, as we talk this morning, imagine how you would have felt as some of these things were happening. So it's the beginning of Holy Week, what we call now Palm Sunday. And Jesus had just entered Jerusalem, fulfilling prophecy, riding the donkey, greeted by the crowds, and they were waving the branches and laying the branches and the cloaks on the ground for the donkey to walk on. And everybody was cheering, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming King of our father David!" It was a fantastic day. It was just a really good day. So think about how the disciples felt that day. They were probably emotionally way up here. I mean, an emotional high. This was the man they'd lived with, they'd followed, they'd learned from and trusted for years now. And he was finally, looked like he was coming into his own. He was being recognized for who he is. And I can even imagine them thinking, now Jesus is going to establish his kingdom. They were so excited, I'm sure, about that. Everything they dreamed about was coming to pass. It was a great day, and they started that week with a really good feeling. But you know, over the course of that week, things didn't quite go the way they had anticipated. So by Thursday, Jesus was telling them again that he was going to be killed, that he was one of them was going to betray him, that even Peter was going to deny him. And by that time, Judas had already made arrangements with the Jewish leaders to turn Jesus over to them when he had an opportunity. I'm trying to get my phone here so I can see the time. I don't want to. There we go. So things were going, they were kind of going downhill. And then we all know the series of events that happened on Friday, Thursday evening into Friday. Jesus was arrested and beaten and ridiculed and scorned. And finally, he was tried and then sentenced to death. And then on Friday, he was eventually crucified. Now imagine how the disciples felt. They'd watched the man they loved, trusted, the man who less than a week ago had entered Jerusalem as a king, establishing his kingdom, the one they thought was the Son of God, and this man had just been killed. So imagine how they felt as they saw that man go through all that, Jesus go through all that. I imagine there was shock, despair, and fear, disbelief. They went from the high point of Sunday before, on Palm Sunday, to the valley of despair. And you know, on Friday, God made himself known. His only son was being executed. Darkness covered the earth for 3 hours, from 12 to 3. 3 hours it was dark. And when Jesus died, there were earthquakes, and the earth shook, and there were the rocks split. The curtain in the temple split in two. Till finally, one of the Roman soldiers even said, "Surely, this man was the Son of God." The earth knew that day that the Son of God had been killed. So Friday was a devastating day. It was not a good day. But then came Saturday. And Saturday was different. It was a Sabbath, so people weren't out and about very much. And you know, the Gospels don't record anything that anybody did that day. Nothing. The Gospels also don't record anything that God did on Saturday. God was silent on Saturday. And again, imagine how you're feeling if you're one of those disciples. The worst has happened. The worst thing possible has happened in their minds. They'd committed their lives for the past few years to Jesus' teachings. They'd sworn themselves to spread the teachings, and yet, When he was arrested, what did they do? They all deserted him and they fled. That's what Matthew says. They all left. They were probably afraid for their lives. And now Jesus was dead and they didn't know what to do. Shock, discouragement, pain, fear for their own lives. I can imagine really bad feelings. This is how they must have felt on Saturday. Now, it's true, Jesus had told them that in 3 days he would be raised. Did they understand and believe that? Well, if we look in the Bible, in Luke 18, Jesus told them everything that was going to happen, that he'd be killed, he would rise again. But then in verse 34, the disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. So, no, they didn't understand. And then in John 29, John says that until after the resurrection, the disciples still hadn't understood those scriptures that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. They didn't know what was going on. So Saturday, they really didn't understand what was coming next. They only knew that Friday was a really bad day, terrible day. And now it was Saturday, and God was silent. You know, there are times in our own lives when we encounter a Friday just like that, just as the disciples did. A time when something terrible has happened, maybe the worst day of our lives. Something might be going on with you or with me right now. Others, usually at some point in the future, will always encounter that Friday. And such a Friday looks different for everybody. For some, it might be your health. Maybe terrible news from your doctor. Maybe the health of someone you love. News that's shattering. News that has no hope. Maybe it's a relationship in your family or your friends where you just don't see an answer. Others, it might be the loss of a job or financial ruin or that has you questioning everything. For me, it was losing someone very dear to me, and I'm sorry, I knew I was going to cry. For me, it was losing someone very dear to me and all the devastation that goes with that. So we all have a different kind of Friday, but usually we all always encounter that Friday. But Friday can be facing any situation where you feel overwhelmed, can't seem to see the light at the end of the tunnel. That can be Friday. So whatever the problem, whatever the circumstance, it can kind of throw you into a tailspin. Discouragement, confusion, fear, doubt, all the emotions that cause us to question, what is going on? That problem, that situation that comes on Friday, just like the disciples, think about how they felt. That's how we feel sometimes. Leads us to the waiting time of Saturday. We've met our problem. We've prayed. We've put it in God's hands. And now we have to wait. That time of waiting between our prayers and the arrival of an answer, that's our Saturday. Waiting for God's timing when answers to prayer just don't seem to be coming. When God has been silent. And that's a very hard time when we don't hear from God. The day after Jesus' crucifixion was Sabbath, and a time to rest, a time to be still. But you know, sometimes it's really hard for us to rest and be still when all those other things are going on in our lives, when we're feeling those things. So what can we do while we're waiting on that Saturday of our problems, our time of waiting? And a few things came to my mind. You know, God was silent on Saturday, but don't ever interpret God's silence as his absence. Don't ever think because God is silent, you don't hear from him, that he's not there. Just because we can't see what he's doing doesn't mean he's not doing anything. All through Scripture, God promises that He will remain with us and in us. He does not abandon us. And I'm going to be reading a lot of Scripture, and most of this is from the New Living Translation, which I really like. So I'll try to say the references twice so you can keep up with me. Sorry. But these are great because they're promises from God. These are great. Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Isn't that a great picture? Deuteronomy 31:6. And this was part of Moses' charge when he turned leadership over to Joshua so the Israelites could enter the promised land. And he said, "So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, and do not panic before them." I have a habit of panicking when something bad happens, like, whoa, panic. But God says, don't do that. You don't have to panic. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. Isn't that neat? He will neither fail you nor abandon you. So God isn't inactive. He's going ahead of us to prepare the way. Psalm 9:10. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you. Exodus 14:13. And this is Moses to the Israelites when they were faced with the Red Sea in front of them and the Egyptians were behind them, like between a rock and a hard place. You ever been there? And he said, "Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today." Lamentations 3:22-24. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in Him. Psalm 46:1-2. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in trouble, times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. We don't have to be afraid. Matthew 28:20. And these are Jesus' words to the disciples when he ascended to heaven. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He's always there. And Psalm 73:21-23. Now, in the first part of this psalm, the author was complaining to God that proud but wicked people prospered, while those trying to serve the Lord often found nothing but trouble all day long. Do you ever have that question? I have. Why? The bad people get all the good stuff, and we struggle. But then in verse 21, and here he's talking to God, "Then I realized that my heart was bitter, and I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant, I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet," I love that word, "yet, I still belong to you," to God. "You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel." And Micah 7:7. "As for me, I look to the Lord for help. I wait confidently for God to save me, and my God will certainly hear me." And I could go on and on with promises of God, that God doesn't leave us. They're just all through the Bible. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't abandon us. And even when he's quiet, when he's silent, when we don't see what he's doing or hear from him, he's there with us, and he's working in the background. And then we have to fix our eyes on the one who is the solution to our problems. We have to fix our eyes on God. 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. In Hebrews 12, and this is the beginning of verse, or the end of verse 1, the beginning of verse 2, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And I love this next verse, Isaiah 26:3-4. Isaiah 26:3-4. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. We tend to get sidetracked from focusing on God. Instead of keeping our eyes on him, we tend to look around at all the bad things going on around us and focus on all our problems, what we're going through. We allow the circumstances that we find ourselves in to absorb our thoughts. Remember Peter? Matthew 14, he and the disciples were out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and they were in a boat, and the storm was terrible, and they saw Jesus walking toward them on the water. And remember how afraid they got? Whoa, he's a ghost! But old impetuous Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. And Jesus called to him, and Peter started walking on the water toward Jesus. He was actually walking on the water. He was doing it. And then in verse 30, but when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed them. Peter was fine until he started noticing the wind and the waves. And as soon as he started concentrating on those circumstances, he started to sink. And we do that too. We focus on the trouble instead of the solution. So we have to change the way we think. We have to renew our minds. Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. The world around us concentrates on all the troubles and all the difficulties. Look at the media. I don't even watch news. It's all bad. That's all they ever focus on, is the bad stuff. But God says to let him transform us by changing the way we think, by letting ourselves shift our thinking and focus away from what we're going through to focus on him, on God, on the one who can bring us peace. Not by focusing on the problem solver instead of on the problem. And then we have to remember that God is God and we are not. God is in control, we're not. We can become overwhelmed trying to find the solution, or we can allow God to work. Now, that doesn't mean we don't do the things we need to do. We certainly have some responsibilities. In Ephesians 6, Paul lists all the armor of God that God has provided to protect us in our battles. The truth and God's righteousness and faith and salvation and the word of God. All those things are tools in our tool belt that we need to put on so that we're protected. It's our responsibility to do that, to take on each piece of armor. But then in Ephesians 6:13, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after having done everything, what do? To stand. To stand firm. That's what we do. We do as much as we can do. We take on all the weapons that God has given us, all the defenses he's given us. And then we say, God, the rest is up to you. When we've reached the limit of what we can do, then it's up to us to stand firm. There were times in the life of Paul when he was discouraged. And I kind of think of Paul as this, the ultimate Christian, the ultimate saint. He was, you know, did everything right. Well, he didn't always. Sometimes he was discouraged and he couldn't do anything about his situation either. So in 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10, he talks about such a situation. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed. Does that sound familiar? Crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God, who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. We stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God. If only we could always do that. Just put our total trust in him. And the God who raises the dead, think about that. Look at the power God has. Everything is possible with God. When we recognize that God is God, we are not. So Saturday is the time between our problem and the answer to our prayer. The time when we have to trust God. Trust that God has everything under control. When even though all there seems to be is darkness, we put our trust in the answer because God brings light to the darkness. And you know, we have an advantage over the disciples. The disciples didn't understand there was an answer coming. They didn't understand that Jesus was going to be resurrected. They weren't sure what was going on. But we know how the story ends. We know that Sunday is coming when Christ is resurrected. We know that God might be silent on Saturday, but he's going to make a huge statement on Sunday. That Jesus lives, that the power of God is over even death and over the grave. And you know, sometimes we can get stuck on Saturday by letting our situations and our problems just overwhelm us, by letting them consume us. But God wants us to stop focusing on ourselves and our problems and on our fears, and instead looking forward to what God has for us next. He's always with us. He alone is God. So don't get stuck on Saturday, because Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming when the answer will be there.